Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the human being when Allah says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Human beings by their very nature are always hasty, impatient, wanting immediate results without putting in the work. We need to pay attention to these ayat so that we know what to be cautious of, so we can address these issues in the best ways possible. You know, there's an interesting analogy that says that some people, imagine a person, he gets paid $15 an hour. And he thinks to himself, I'm getting paid for my time. What he fails to realize is, of course you're not getting paid for your time, because then you could just stay home and collect $15 an hour. What are you actually getting paid for? You're getting paid for the value that you offer during that hour. The value that you offer during an hour is just $15. When you think about it from the perspective of value, then you start to realize, hey, wait a second. How can I produce more value in that same hour? What can I do to ensure that my value is constantly increasing with every hour that I offer? And when you think from that perspective, you realize that the answer is that you need to work on yourself more than you work on your job. Yes, of course, you give effort towards your employer. Yes, of course, you work hard on your job. But at the end of the day, you want to be working on yourself even more to make sure that you're constantly in a state of self-improvement, so that the value that you offer within that hour is always going up and up and up. That way you can earn more and more, inshallah ta'ala. You know, there are some people that will say, I have 20 years of experience working some job. Yeah, maybe you do. But there's a big difference between those who spend 20 years and they only really have 1 year of experience, and the rest of those 19 years are just repeating the same, let's say, curriculum, or repeating the same schedule, repeating the same actions over and over and over again. So really you have 1 year of experience, just 20 times. As opposed to the person who, for 20 years in a row, they were constantly tinkering, constantly adjusting, constantly improving to make sure that each year was valuable in and of itself. Each year you were making leaps and bounds. Whether they were large steps or small steps, each year you were growing as an individual. That person can say, I have 20 years of experience, and the meaning is actually correct. That is truly 20 years of growth each and every single year. The problem is most people won't do it. In fact, I would be so bold as to say most of the people probably in this room won't do it. They won't continuously work on themselves. Most people, once they find a particular niche, once they do a certain job well, they stick to that job and they just hit repeat. Why? Because it's more comfortable that way. It's very difficult and in fact extremely uncomfortable to do what? To say, okay, I may be good at this niche, but let me look around it. Let me look at the periphery. Let me see all the things that I'm weak at. And let me make an honest assessment of myself. That's painful. That's a painful process. Most people won't even take that very first step of an honest assessment to address their weaknesses. Why? Because it's going to hurt their ego. So they'll just back off. Oh, hurts the ego too much? Leave it alone. Number one. If they do that, if they can get past that, will they train themselves? Training is the second step. That's very difficult too. Why? Because that means you have to have you require the humility to actually join a beginner's group. Think about how hard that is. Imagine as a grown man, you recognizing that here are my weak spots, here are the parts where I'm a complete novice and a complete beginner. So I'm going to go and join the class of all the younger kids, all the younger people who are starting as beginners, even though I'm older than them. Even though I'm older than them. Do you have the humility to do so? Will you go through that painful process of putting yourself at the bottom where you actually belong with regards to the topics that you know you need to improve upon? Again, most people will say, no thanks, I'll just stick to what I'm good at. I'm not going to actually go down to that lower level and embarrass myself. No way. So they won't improve. After assessment, after training or joining that training class, then there is what? Faith in the process. Most people don't have enough faith. Most people don't have enough trust in the process to say, you know what? I'm going to take baby steps every single day. I'm going to keep on working on myself because I have faith and I have trust that this process is going to yield results. I might not see it right away, but it will show up after a long period of time. Most people do not have enough faith to do that. Most people don't have enough tawakkul ala Allah, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will reward their efforts to work on themselves slowly and deliberately. And then finally, the patience. The patience to work on yourself is a slow process as well. And so we usually don't have the patience to work on ourselves. Why? Because we're so used to computers, we're so used to our phones, we're so used to instant obedience. We're so used to, hey, I want to download this, just click a button and it's there, high speed. When I want my computer to work on something, all you have to do is plug it in, infinite energy, it'll do the job, it'll never stop, it'll work all night. I can just, as long as I fill up the gas, the car will keep running, the machine will keep going. As long as it's plugged in, it'll keep going. We expect instant results in that same way. And so when we have to face ourselves and our own humanity, our own organic nature, recognizing that everything on this planet that is organic grows in a slow process. You have to plant the seed, it has to germinate, it has to sprout a little bit, it has to develop slowly over a long period of time, then you get the fruits. This takes a long time. So the human being, we're not like our phones, even if we want to be, even if we spend lots of time with our phones. We are much more like the plants outside that we pay no attention to, that take a long time to grow. And so most people don't have the patience for it. And therefore, if you are of those who can work on yourself continuously, you are amongst the few. May Allah make us amongst the few. May Allah make us of those who constantly work on ourselves. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. A painful truth that many of us are not ready to hear. A painful truth that many of us are not ready to hear is what? Maybe you're not built for success. It's a very scary thought, but it's true. Maybe you're not built for success. Now, I don't say that to mean that you will never be built for success. What I mean to say is maybe right now you can't handle it. Let's think about this for a second. With success comes leadership. If you're good at something, they're not going to leave you in some lowly position. They're going to put you as a manager. They're going to put you in a top position. They're going to make sure that you're training and leading others. With success comes leadership. It also, with it comes wealth. And we know wealth can be an extreme blessing or extreme curse. Realistically speaking, if you have certain bad habits that you spend a little bit of money on, and then somebody comes and puts a lot of money, gives you a lot of cash, those small bad habits can become huge bad habits and can destroy you entirely. So, some of us are not ready for success because we can't handle the wealth, the leadership, the pressure, the stress, the big decisions, the high stakes. All of this comes with success. And so, it's very important that you recognize that maybe instead of just being jealous and looking at others and saying, why don't I have that success? Why does that person have it? It should be me instead. Instead of being bitter and being jealous towards others, maybe it's wiser and more intelligent to ask yourself, how can I build myself so that I can actually handle the pressure, so that the pressure of that position wouldn't crush me? Because maybe it would. This is why hasad, jealousy, is such an ugly sin in Islam. There are so many ahadith that talk about the evils of this disease of the heart called hasad, jealousy. It is so evil because ultimately, one aspect of it is what? It is a disrespect, questioning Allah's qadr, questioning Allah's ability to assess and distribute wealth and provisions amongst His creation. Do you think, would you be so disrespectful that you would say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made a wrong decision in giving you what you have? No. You should recognize that this is wrong and evil as a thought. Rather, you should recognize that just as a child who goes to his father and says, Daddy, Daddy, give me the keys to your car. I want to drive around. Yes, of course, the father has the ability to give the keys to the child. It's not difficult for the father to say, here's the keys. It's not hard. But oftentimes the father will say no. Why? Everybody understands that the child doesn't know what to do with such a big and dangerous machine. And something that looks like a blessing, a little quick joyride, might very quickly turn into a huge curse because the child will crash. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى Allah has the highest of examples. And so in that exact same way, or in a similar fashion, we should recognize that just because we want something, and just because we demand, or get frustrated, or get angry, or get jealous, does not mean that Allah Ta'ala is wrong in His assessment and in His qadr of distributing wealth and distributing leadership and means, etc. We should have respect and recognize that, Ya Allah, I make dua and I ask, yes, of course we ask of Allah, but at the same time I recognize that Your decision is the best. And You know me and You know what I can handle. And instead of being like a petulant child just demanding something, instead I will continuously ask, yes, but at the same time I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to constantly improve myself so that there will come that day when you know I'm ready for it and that you will bless me with more opportunity bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. As Allah Ta'ala tells us, what? Allah Ta'ala tells us, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Call upon me and I will answer you. And subhanAllah, even in our calling, even in our dua, we should have patience and deliberation. In fact, there's a beautiful hadith. سَمِعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَجُلًا يَدْعُو فِي صَلَاتِهِ لَمْ يُمَجِّدَ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That there once was a man who was making dua, but he didn't praise Allah in his dua. He didn't start by praising Allah. And he didn't also mention any salah and salam upon the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. He just made a dua directly, quickly. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَجِلْتَ أَيُّهَا الْمُصَلِّي. So the Prophet told this man, you have been hasty, O worshipper. You're too quick, you're too hasty. ثُمَّ عَلَّمَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَسَمِعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَجُلًا يُصَلِّي فَمَجَّدَ اللَّهَ وَحَمِدَهُ وَصَلَّى عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So then the Prophet taught the Sahaba how to make dua and include the praising of Allah and include the salah and salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he heard a man actually applying that. He heard a man praising Allah and sending salah and salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He heard him say all this and then make his dua. And then the Prophet said, what? Ud'u tujab, wasal tu'ata. He said, supplicate and you will be answered. Ask and you will be given. So this is a very beautiful hadith that is mentioned in Sunan al-Nasa'i, and it's a sahih chain of narration, that indeed, that even in our dua, we have to take our time and be deliberate and make our dua beautiful. And we have to recognize that Allah Ta'ala will give us at a rate that we can handle, and this is the best of ways to answer a dua. And subhanAllah, there's one ayah that summarizes this middle path so beautifully. And what do I mean by the middle path? See, some people will go to one of two extremes. They will say, well look, if I'm going to depend upon Allah and His qadr, then I'll never make dua, because I'll just accept whatever Allah says, so there's no point of dua. That's one extreme. Then the other extreme says, I made dua, I should get exactly what I want right now. That's another extreme. So what is the middle path? The middle path is to say, I will make dua, but I will understand that things will come to me at the rate that Allah Ta'ala knows is best for me. So combining these two is the middle path and the best path. Let's take a look how beautiful Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Taha. Near the end of this surah, Allah mentions in Ayah 114 something so beautiful. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Allahu Akbar. Look at this beautiful ayah. How beautiful it combines all these aspects. Number one, praising Allah. It says what? So high above is Allah Ta'ala, the King and the ultimate reality. So first and foremost, you're praising Allah, recognizing that He is Ta'ala, He is the Most High. He is Al-Malik, the King, and He's Al-Haq, the reality and the truth. So you're praising Allah. Then right after that, what? وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Don't rush and hurry with the Qur'an. The Qur'an has to come over the span of 23 years, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't want it all in one shot. Let it come to you piece by piece. This is the best way for you. This is the best way for the Sahaba. This is Allah's wisdom that has to come piecemeal. And for us, it's the same thing. That we have to, instead of saying, I just want to understand everything, all the miracles of the Qur'an immediately. No. Be patient and recognize that the Qur'an is going to come to you piece by piece. You're going to benefit and learn. But you have to work hard at it and let this wahi come to you in pieces, inshallah ta'ala. But then, that doesn't go to the one extreme that you say, okay, whatever Allah decides, then I won't make dua. No. Then it follows up with what? وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And always make dua. Oh Allah, increase me in knowledge. So you find that subhanAllah, this ayah combines all of these ideas all in one. SubhanAllah, it's so beautiful. And furthermore, the Prophet tells us what? أَتُؤَدَى فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا فِي عَمْلِ الْآخِرَةِ. That there should be deliberation in everything except for actions for the afterlife. What a beautiful hadith. That the Prophet tells us what? In Sunan Abi Dawud, and again a sahih, authentic hadith, the Prophet tells us what? That everything that you do, you should have deliberation, patience. You should do it carefully, intelligently. Take your time. Make sure you analyze and do it the right way. Everything except for actions of the akhirah. What does this mean? That means that if you deliberate too much when it comes to the akhirah, sometimes shaitan can play with you and make you delay. So if you have the instinct to give charity, give the charity. Don't say, oh, well, maybe I know, I don't know, maybe a little bit less, maybe this, maybe that. Shaitan's going to play with you. If you know it's time for the salah, you hear the adhan, go and pray your salah. Instead of saying, oh, well, maybe I'll do it later, maybe this, maybe that. No. When it comes to for the akhirah, try to act quickly before shaitan plays with your head. But when it comes to dunya, then always take your time and do it very deliberately. And inshallah, we'll continue in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu ala sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sallim kathira. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. We know that the Sahaba were the best of generations. And even when it comes to the Sahaba, we recognize that subhanAllah, they had a slow and organic growth. See, sometimes we want ourselves to be instantly amazing, instantly righteous. But even the best of generations, Allah describes them in a different way. Allah Ta'ala tells us what? Muhammad Rasulullah وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّأُوا عَلَى الْكُفَارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَعًا سُجَدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطَأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعَ وَلِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارَ لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارَ. Allah Ta'ala says what? Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And those who are with him, there's a reference to the Sahaba, those who are with him, they are what? Tough, forceful against the disbelievers and merciful between each other. This is their quality. And then Allah says what? You see them bowing and prostrating, seeking the bounty from Allah and seeking his pleasure. Their marks on their faces, they have marks on their faces from the traces of prostration. And then Allah says what? That is their description in the Torah. And their description in the Injil is like a plant which produces its offshoots and strengthens them so they grow firm and stand upon their stalks, delighting the sower so that Allah may enrage by them the disbelievers. Allahu Akbar. Look at this ayah. Allah is describing the Sahaba as people who what? You press the button and they became amazing? Transformed overnight? No. The Prophet ﷺ was with them for 23 years, working on them, developing them, and the description that Allah is giving of them. The best of generations is what? Think about a little leaf that comes up. So weak, you can just pluck it out. But it becomes a little bit of a stick. Then it gets a little bit stronger. Then it becomes a little bit tougher. Then it starts growing more branches. Then the base of it, the trunk of it, gets so thick that eventually, subhanAllah, you could drive a whole car into it and it won't budge. You can have people trying to shake it, it won't move. It's so powerful. Before, years ago, whatever it may be, you could have plucked it out. But because it continuously worked on itself, because it got more and more what? Rain, sunshine, these blessings from above, right? SubhanAllah, it kept on coming down. And then what did it do? It kept growing stronger and stronger and stronger. It kept on absorbing until eventually, subhanAllah, you could not shake it. Because the roots were so firm and its branches were so high. Allahu Akbar. This is the description of the Sahaba. If that is the best of generations, then what about us? Of course, we need to be patient with ourselves. And we need to appreciate that. We are going to take time to grow. And that's okay. And the final point that I want to make a final point about the Quran and then ask some questions. SubhanAllah, please pay attention to this. Look how amazing this is. See, when it comes to Quran, you can't just pass by. You have to think. When Allah says something, there's a reason. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. We know that Musa alayhi salam, when he left Egypt with Bani Israel after Fir'aun was drowned, we know that, subhanAllah, Bani Israel, they started to whine and complain, saying, we miss all the beautiful foods from back in Egypt. Now, what did they list? Is it just coincidental what they listed? No, pay attention. They mentioned what? That they're missing what Egypt used to produce, min baqliha, wa qithaiha, wa fumiha, wa adasiha, wa basariha. Five things. We miss its herbs, cucumbers, garlic, lentils, and onions. Now, contrast these five with different fruits in the Quran that Allah mentions are blessed. Look how amazing when Allah Ta'ala talks about fruits of paradise. When Allah talks about fruits that are blessed, Allah describes what? Inab, grapes, olives, zaytun, right? Figs, teen, pomegranates, rumman, and dates and date palms, nakhla, right? Date palm tree. These are described as blessed and so on and so forth, the fruits of paradise, etc. Why is this impressive? What is so amazing about this? Well, I'll tell you what's amazing. SubhanAllah. You can do a quick Google search and research this topic. It's quite fascinating. How long does it take once you've planted it? You know, the first ones that I mentioned, to plant it to get some sort of a harvest. So I just did a quick search. Maybe the results would vary if I did more research. Allahu a'lam, it's not an expert in the field, but I found something very consistent. What is it? They're very quick, they're very short term. Look at the first ones. Herbs, cucumbers, garlic, lentils, onions, somewhere around 60 days, 50 to 70 days, 8 months, maybe 9 months, 110 days, 100 to 120 days, all couple months. They all grow very quickly, relatively speaking. So, what does that mean? That means you plant them, instant gratification. You get them quickly, they don't grow deep roots, They produce something, but then they die, and you have to work on it all over again. So it's quick. What about the other ones? Allahu Akbar, grapes, 3 years. What about olives? Again, what I found, this is what Google was telling me. You guys can look it up yourselves, inshallah. Maybe you'll find slightly different answers. But what seems to be consistent is the difference in length. Again, 3 years. Takes so long for it to grow and produce. Figs, 8 to 10 years. That's what I found. Allahu Akbar. So long. Pomegranates, 3 years. Dates, 4 to 8 years. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, but it seems that consistently, these are what? They take longer work, but yet at the same time, they grow deeper roots. They produce so beautifully. Once you put in the work, they keep giving more and more every year. They last longer, and they're so sweet, and they're so good for the body. They taste better. They're sweeter. They're more healthy. And after you've done the work, subhanAllah, it keeps on producing, keeps on giving. SubhanAllah, never overlook Qur'an and think it's just quick and... No. You have to think about Qur'an. Why does Allah describe this one's like this and these ones like that? It's describing how impatient and petulant they are. I want the quick, easy. This one, that one, this one. Yeah, maybe it's nice. But you're not thinking about the long term. You're not thinking about putting in the work and getting the long term results. Something sweet. Something good for you. Something that will produce great results. You're not thinking like that. And even in the examples Allah gives, it's so powerful. And so I finish by asking, and if you get nothing else from this khutbah, just ask yourself these questions. And when I say ask yourself, I mean answer. Don't just say, oh, those are good questions. Answer the question in your own mind, inshallah ta'ala. My questions are the following. What are your long-term self-improvement goals? When it comes to mentally, yes, I know we all have school, but after school, because school, alhamdulillah, is a great long-term plan. You know, you start at kindergarten, you go all the way to university. Alhamdulillah, long-term gradual steps that society has very beautifully put in place for us to improve ourselves gradually. Great. But many of us finish school and then that's it, we're done. Why? How are you continuously to mentally improve yourself even after school? Physically, do you have an exercise schedule? Do you take classes? Do you play certain sports? Do you have a trainer? Spiritually, do you go to halaqas? Do you read certain books? Do you take certain classes? Do you have a tutor? Socially, are you networking? Are you constantly meeting new people and getting to know new people to improve yourself and to improve your network? Financially, are you rising in your rank? Are you taking the necessary steps to constantly move forward in your work? Putting in that extra little work to outdo the next person? So these are the questions I want us to ask ourselves and actually answer them in our own minds, or write them down on your phone, maybe inshallah after the khutbah. So may Allah ta'ala make us of those who are not impatient. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who constantly make dua, but we recognize that our growth is gradual and natural and organic. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who are constantly taking baby steps every single day to improve upon ourselves. May Allah ta'ala make us like the Sahaba, who, like these plants, grew firmer and firmer and stronger with time. May Allah ta'ala make us like these beautiful, sweet, and beneficial fruits that take time but yield great and beautiful results. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وأقم الصلاة.